Just let yourself close your eyes. And just let go of whatever it took to get here this morning, or this evening. Letting go of whatever your day was like. And just letting yourself sink in as much as you can into this gift of time that you've given yourself to be with yourself and to be with other parents. As we navigate our way on this path of awakening known as parenting. And just to check in with how your body's doing. Just physically, as you're sitting here, allowing yourself to open to the idea of settling in and grounding, feeling the contact points of your body on the cushions or the chair. And imagining the sense of rootedness. Perhaps having that image of roots finding their way into the earth. Connecting to the ground and the solidity of the earth beneath us, and also the earth's energies. That generous force of gravity that holds us here. And if you will, just to really allow yourself to sink into that image, even allowing ourselves to feel heavy and drop in. So many of us can tend to spend our days in our head thinking and working in our heads or being on the computer, and just giving a chance to rebalance by coming and sinking heavily into the body. Feeling our feet, our legs. And then gradually allow our attention to come up the body and to imagine connecting in to the energies of the heavens and that light that comes from the sun and this beautiful full moon of the last few nights. And to imagine our bodies being so beautifully balanced in between heaven and earth. And as Jack Kornfield and as his teachers before him said, we take our seats halfway between heaven and earth. And may we allow our bodies to feel that connection, the interconnection that we have with each other of being held. And to also check in with how your heart is this evening. It may be helpful to put your hand on your heart and just to see, how's your heart tonight? With whatever you may be carrying. Things that might be happening in your own family or in your extended family. Sometimes we can be carrying so much we almost forget to notice. Sweetheart, this is a lot. And just allowing ourselves a gift of attention to see, really, how is our heart tonight? Making space for whatever's there, whatever heaviness is there, or sadness, or sorrow, joy, contentment, some combination therein. Just in as much as you can, allow a sense of spaciousness around whatever it is that's here. Again, to pull from that poem, that we are creating a clearing in the dense forest of our mind, and we find refuge with whatever we are here with tonight, in our hearts, in our emotional bodies. There's 400 acres at our disposal to help us hold whatever we come with. And then last, on this arriving section, just to check in with the state of how your mind is. If there's a sense of busyness in the mind of rehashing the day, what was happening or what might be happening tomorrow, or what you have to do when you get home. If there's a sense of agitation and busyness, or if it's calm or just exhausted and wiped out. Again, to just meet it, okay, it's like this. Without any sense of having to wish that it were otherwise, or judging ourselves for how it is, it's just like this. Right now, it's like this. And to allow yourself one or two deep inhalations and exhalations. And then when you're ready to open your eyes, and we'll shift gears. Welcome those who have joined us. I sat at a retreat one time somewhere in the South Bay, and it was at a Zen center, and there were Zen students that were had their black cushion and one the Zabuton and one cushion and sat very still, and then there are all the Vipassana students that had like 20 cushions and blankets and pillows. It was very clear who was practicing what style. So here we are, get comfortable, get your pillows, get your blankets. Really allow your body as much support right now as we need it. And as we're settling in, I'd love if we could go around the room, if we could. And I wanted to have some space if anyone wanted to check in about the homework. And is the sound okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. Just in the, Nicole and I weren't here, but looking at in the first two precepts, the first being of non-harming, but holding it from a point of view of how can we cultivate the life force that's in our kids. And then the second one is can be framed not stealing, not taking what's not offered, and holding that in a way of, with our kids, of what do they really offer us, and when do we lean too far into their lives, and just open it up as a way to sort of notice. I think for myself, just noticing where that. Sorry, it looked like there was a fire out there. Notice the light in our kids and what it is. For me, when did I see that in my daughter, and thinking of ways to help cultivate that. And I just wanted to open some space up, and it doesn't have to be particular to that, but other things that you might want to share that's coming up around the parenting from last week. We're just checking in about if there were any thoughts about what came up last week, or work with the homework, or just to check in from what might be carrying from last week. And just for your first comment, there's no grade. But really, that discovering what we bump up against is so beautiful. I'm like, oh, there's this edge. And seeing what it is. And yeah, it's uncomfortable, but that's so this is so much of an inquiry of and a discovery of like, oh, well, what happens if I lean into this, and is it true what I want to say? Does it feel authentic, or does it feel hokey? And just to play that edge of what's our conditioning from what we grew up as a fellow Rust Belt person from Cincinnati and from Pittsburgh, this that idea of what there's a certain way at a certain time kids are brought up, and then to actually be speaking to our kids in a different way, it's like it can feel uncomfortable. And just allowing yourself the time to be like, well, what actually feels true and helpful to say? We're going to be talking about speech tonight, so I just so appreciate your sharing that and the vulnerability of, oh, I don't know. Excellent. Thank you so much. That's a beautiful image. How about if we just slide from eye bananas into a meditation, if you close your eyes. A beautiful family gratitude image. Thank you. I was hoping I might get a little bit of help from the middle schoolers downstairs, because I wanted to have us do a sound meditation. And it's so quiet. But I want to play with it anyway, because it becomes interesting what the mind can do when there's not a lot of noise to latch onto. But sound is another one of the anchors that allows us to stay in the present moment and to notice with sounds. And it's sounds that we'll be making in the room. Maybe there'll be some sounds outside, and maybe the kids downstairs will help us. But to just notice if there's a leaning forward sort of scanning for noise, for sounds to play with, or if there's a pulling away from, or just being able to sit with, what does this silence sound like? Can we get close and intimate with the sounds of quiet? That's so different from our home life, for some of us. That's not so quiet. There's certainly the sound of the, whatever it is, heater or coolant. But just allowing the sounds, it can be the sound of my voice for now, and the sounds around us, to be the anchor to the present moment. And the mind will do what it does of telling stories. It could be telling stories about trying to focus on sound when there isn't any, or just all the stories we can spin about our lives or our kids or partners, ex-partners, work, family, vacations, whatever fantasies may cross through our minds. Can we stay steady and allow our attention to rest on the sounds of the room? And if the sound as an anchor point for meditation isn't working for you tonight, you're of course welcome to follow your breath or whatever does work. But then I'm going to invite you just to try and see what it's like to really allow your attention to rest on sounds, and to really try to use the whole body, that it's not just our ears that listen. Can we listen with our other senses and with our body, and how do we meet the sounds around us? And again, just holding this exercise with a sense of curiosity. What's it like if I just allow myself to be open to different sounds, to be open to this quiet, and really investigating, well, what is quiet like? For some people, there can be kind of a ringing sound. And do we move into a place of then telling a story if we hear a sound, a story of we like it or we don't like it? And again, just holding this as a practice, as a way of, a portable way of grounding in the present moment. And even if there's a lot of chatter inside our own heads, that too can be a form of sound. And to not listen to the story of what our inner voices may be telling us, but just, oh, well, it's noisy in here. And what is that? How does that resonate in my body? Does it make me feel agitated or irritated or stressed? And feel free to play with this practice and make it such that it works for you. Again, with the invitation truly to be about staying here in the present moment, kind of out of our heads, out of the stories that we tell ourselves. But as I've said before, can we allow ourselves to sink into this gift of time, of just sitting with ourselves without having to do anything or be anywhere? No one's asking you to find anything or help them in any way. We're able to just sit together and see what it's like inside our bodies and inside our minds. Allowing our attention to rest, if it works, on the sounds of the room, of the land, of the building, and internally. Tonight is part two of the it's kind of echoey, huh? Is that okay? Of the precepts, and let's see if I can get over the sound. The precepts from Thich Nhat Hanh are the same from last week, and I thought we could read the last three out loud together. And as we're reading it aloud, I'm going to ask that you sort of let it resonate within and see where you get a little bit caught or where it feels challenging or what feels easeful, like, oh, no problem, I got that one, or which feel a little like, ooh, that doesn't feel right. And just to notice how you react when we read it aloud together. And does everybody have one? It's the week two and week three, the five wonderful precepts. Thanks. Are there more out there? Thanks. There might not be, but we can share.
There are.
Perfect. Thank you. And so we'll start with the third one. Aware of the suffering caused by sexual misconduct, I vow to cultivate my responsibility and learn ways to protect the safety and integrity of individuals, couples, families, and society. I am determined not to engage in sexual relations without love and long-term commitment. To preserve the happiness of myself and others, I am determined to respect my commitments and the commitments of others. I will do everything in my power to protect children from sexual abuse and to protect families from being broken by sexual misconduct. Aware of the suffering caused by unmindful speech and the inability to listen to the suffering of others, I vow to cultivate loving speech and deep listening in order to bring joy and happiness to others and relieve others of their suffering. Knowing that words can create happiness or bring suffering, I vow to speak truthfully with words that can inspire self-confidence, joy, and hope. I am determined not to spread news that I do not know to be certain and to not criticize or condemn things I am not sure of. I will refrain from uttering words that can cause division or discord or that can cause the family or the community to break. I will make every effort to reconcile and resolve all conflicts, even small. And the fifth. Aware of the suffering caused by unmindful consumption, I vow to cultivate good health, both physical and mental, for myself, my family, and my society by practicing mindful eating, drinking, and consuming. I vow to ingest only items that preserve peace, well-being, and joy in my body, in my consciousness, and in the collective body and consciousness of my family and society. I am determined not to use alcohol or any other intoxicants or to ingest foods or other items that contain toxins, such as certain TV programs, magazines, books, films, and conversations. I am aware that to damage my body and my consciousness with these poisons is to betray my ancestors, my parents, my society, and future generations. I will work to transform violence, fear, anger, and confusion by practicing a diet for myself and for society. I understand that a proper diet is crucial for self-transformation and for the transformation of society. That's a lot, right? A conversation about sex and drugs. We're going to do it all in about 45 minutes. That's right. Right? and I thought a lot about one, just sort of the breadth of these, particularly with our kids and the world that they are growing up in is so different, certainly from the world that I grew up in terms of political discord that our kids are exposed to, but I don't want to get into that. But just what influences are available to them in all these, in terms of what their speech of sort of outside of the family and community with the, all the social media and the internet, that it's such, I feel like that should be its own topic of wise use of the internet for our kids. So I want to hold that thread because it weaves through all these things. And I know there have been so many conversations in with kids and educators, like, how do we talk to our kids about what's happening in the political arena? My kid's 8 and is asking about it, and we don't have TV, and she can't read yet, so she's not reading the paper, but it's in the air. And talking about, as we're talking about skillful speech, and how do we model it for our kids and really make the distinction of, yes, you might hear it out there, but that's not what we do. And that part of these precepts and this invitation or these guidelines is really about how do we cultivate a sense of harmony and values within our family and say, like, no, this is what we believe, and this is what we want, and this is what's going to keep us safe, and this is what we believe in, and to allow this sense of, it's really an invitation into a sense of safety, that we're going to keep each other safe because we believe, and like, we don't want to harm each other. We're going to do our best not to. We might sometimes, and we'll work to correct it. And we don't want to steal from each other in the broadest terms. How do we really respect each other? And that we don't want to talk harshly, and sometimes we will, and then we want to correct it. But we want to speak from a sense of being kind to each other and being truthful and honest and speaking from a gentle place. And then we don't. And then we correct it. And just and on with the toxins. I, the, my brother was in town, and we had a dinner party on Saturday, and I don't drink much. And I had 2 glasses of wine and woke up the next morning, had a bunch of coffee, and I didn't drink coffee. And I was like, whoa, it's such a slippery slope of, like, you start to feel bad and then medicate back up. And it was just so funny, like, oh, I used to do this all the time, and now I just can't. But that way of what are the toxins that we take in, both on the literal sense, but also I love that he brings in media and television and books. And again, there's what we can do, and then working with our kids. And when they're young, it's easier to be like, nope, not going to do that. Nope, you can't have the shoes that light up. But it's different as they get older and they want more. And their kids, well, my friend has a phone, or or I want to read this book, or how to talk to our kids about, what's that book? Katniss?
Hunger Games.
I mean, I read those books, but that's a lot for kids to process, and the level of stimulation in our society is so high. And to grow up in it, it's intense for our kids. And again, in this idea of these precepts really inviting us to create this refuge for our kids, like, this is what's going to be known in our family. We're not always going to get it right, but we're really going to commit to holding these values, so that when our kids come, or that our kids' friends come over, that it is a safe place. And how do we work with our kids when they go to our friend's house and, well, at Susie's house, we get to watch, da-da-da-da, we get to do this and that. And it's a really tricky thing, because I don't think I ever felt more either judged or watching in myself my own judgment come in other than around parenting, either how I was parenting or someone else was parenting, or how my parents parented. It's just sort of ripe for a way of the comparing mind to really take hold and be like, well, that's not how I do it, and therefore it's wrong. Well, who knows? I was reading in Jack's book, Wise Heart, he quotes Ajahn Chah, who's his teacher, one of his teachers. And he spoke of the 3 levels of virtue as the first one being stopping harmful actions, so the sense of not harming, and not stealing, and not lying, and not taking intoxicants, and not misusing our sexual energy. So that's sort of the first level of aspirations, just to kind of get ourselves under control and refrain from behavior that can cause harm from unwholesome acts. And the second level is the deliberate cultivation of care, where we want to protect life, and we want to speak truthfully, or stand up for truth, or we want to be stewards of the earth to care for things, and we want to protect the integrity of our relationships and the intimacy of our relationships, and to keep our minds clear, to really to stay as awake as possible, and be clear in our energies. And that's the second second level. And then the third is really what is Ajahn Chah refers to as the natural virtue of just what happens when our heart is open. That's just where we are. This ability to be generous and open and have that wise response to whatever comes. So we don't have a prescriptor like, oh, in this situation I can do X. But just being able to say, okay, I'm just going to, this is how it is right now. Can I be compassionate and open? When is even in the place of if we might screw up with our kids or something comes out of our mouth, you're like, oh, I didn't mean to say it. Like, how do we just allow ourselves that space and forgiveness and compassion of like, I'm trying my best. I wish it didn't go down that way. And then how do we correct and keep coming back out of this place that's going to try and fix and solve and struggle and to just, okay, how do I lead from my heart and allow this practice to support us to know where do we get caught and where does our own conditioning, what we learned as kids or from whatever outside sources, where does that trip us up and prevent us from being as open as we can with our kids? And this isn't with any kind of like setting the bar so high that we're going to be the Gandhi of parents or aunts. Or it's just being able to rest in our own sense of knowing what's true. That in this, and I say this as a therapist, but we're so, there's such a leaning towards getting expert opinions on how to raise our kids. And leaning out like, well, who, and here there's no shortage of people to talk to get advice of how to raise our kids. And some of it is beautiful and wonderful and helpful. And it can also, we can sell ourselves short. We can give up our own authority of knowing like, wait, this is my kid. No one is ever going to know my kid better than I will or her dad. And can we rest in that? And yes, let's get help. And learning is always helpful. And there are wonderful experts out there. But part of this training is really cultivating our own sense of wisdom, under connecting to our own wisdom of being able to parent from the place of, okay, if I am clear, if my mind is clear, and my heart is open, I'm kind of going to know what to do and what's best for my kid because I'm open and I'm listening. And with, what is the order of these? With a sexual misconduct, I was at a training a couple weeks ago and we were talking about the precepts and looking at this culture is so challenged around being able to talk in a healthy way about sex. And again, I don't want to go near the political presidential race, but oh my god, I mean really. Again, right, we could all be like, there are certain toxins that we don't want to be ingesting. Just put my judgment on that. But the just don't even know what to say. I just think of Michelle Obama's speech of like, enough. Like we just are so in the gutter with some of these conversations. But how do we talk to our kids about healthy sexual relations? And with some of the little kids, they were not there yet, but I was with a friend who was telling me that with access to the internet in the hands of a 10, 9, 11-year-old and their access to porn and what it does to the wiring of their brain is so bad and so terrifying and toxic. And how do we pay attention to what they have access to? And it's not just in our own houses, but in their friend's house. And we can't control what they do outside, but how do we have the conversations with them of like, how does he have a positive message about sex and the sexual energies? Because that's where our passion and our energy and our creativity is. And we can get so caught in like, it's bad or it's this way, it's that. And it's like, it's so complex. It's not just one thing. And how do we work with our own selves, our own issues and whatever history we may bring to the conversation to get clear in ourselves of where is it going to be hard for me to talk to my kid or the different kids I have because the personalities are going to be different about being respectful about intimate relationships and what's important and what do we stress and how do we protect our kids and having them be smart and being able to protect themselves as we engender the conversations about allowing, encouraging them to take care of themselves and feel into like what feels right to you as we do for ourselves, of let me find this clear space so I can move, and helping our kids learn, like, well, what actually feels good to you and what feels right, and to start young. And looking at the Common Sense Media, which is a great website for kids, like this whole sexting handbook for kids, of just the dangers. And I have kids in my practice that have talked about that whole issue with, and, you know, they're in middle school, about getting requests and that, how complicated it is and wanting to fit in, and how do we navigate that as parents. But part of our job is to get as clear as we can for ourselves what we believe in, what we want to teach, what we were taught that worked or didn't work. But it's such this beautiful, challenging place to practice, of really getting clear of what message do we want to give our kids, and what message are we actually giving our kids, and understanding that our own unconscious processes can get in the way. Like, I think I'm doing this, but actually I might be modeling something very different. And not to get critical with ourselves, but just using this practice of being able to come still and see if, okay, I'm doing this. I do want to leave time to talk. So with the speech, there's this funny cartoon. I don't know if you can see it. There's a police officer and a woman sitting on a couch, and a detective back here, and then 2 feet behind the couch. So let's assume the guy's been shot, because that's how it looks. So the policeman's writing it down, and the woman says, "He misspoke, I misheard, then shots rang out." And this is kind of how it can go sometimes, like, no, that's not what I said. And then they're off and running with our kids, and just being able to get a little, give ourselves space to breathe before we say something. And I've taken sometimes with my kid to be like, I'm going to just go and close this door and not talk to you and not be back. Just to take the time to give ourselves space. Like, I don't want to speak from this place if I'm all activated and upset. Like, just let me breathe and not talk to you for a minute. I'll come back. And listening. I love that Thich Nhat Hanh names that too, the listening, and the listening with the whole body of how can we really allow our bodies to hear what our kids are saying and not just listen with our ears, but really take in what's the sound of their voice and the cadence, and when do they talk up and get high, and just to really, we're not going to be able to do it all the time, but when there are times when they're actually, when we can track, like when they're actually needing us to really show up, can we allow all of ourselves to show up and really listen? And what an amazing gift that they'll take that in. With the toxins, again, that with our kids, there's so much more that's available with prescription drugs, and that the kids can get so. There's so much out there that they can get involved in, and how do we start the conversations early with? What do we want to believe? What do we hold as valuable in our family? And what are we modeling? What do they see us do? And this is true for with talking too. Of how do they hear us talk amongst our friends? What do they hear us say? And when do we lean into exaggerating or telling stories or being sarcastic? And what are they what are they learning from us in terms of our actions? And same with what we are ingesting, or what do we nourish ourselves with? Are we nourishing ourselves with that which is good for us? Or that which Tara Brach calls false refuges in her book, True Refuge, of whether it's sort of the binge eating or shopping or addictions of various kinds, or these places that we think we can find refuge, but it's so fleeting and it doesn't actually work. But how do we find refuge and nourish our bodies with things that actually do truly nourish them? I'd like to. I want to be able to have time for a conversation. So I ask you to close your eyes, and if you could pick one of these, whether it's the speech of not lying or not exaggerating or not speaking harshly, not judging, those sort of all come under the same category. That comparing mind, whether it's a speech, whether it's the sexuality precept, or whether it's the precept around intoxicants, if one of them feels If you feel more aversive to one or feels more challenging, pick that one just for the sake of this exercise. And of course, take care of yourself. And if there's, this is not in any way an invitation to activate any old traumas or anything that's really overly challenging, but just being mindful of what would be workable tonight, just to kind of lean into an edge that feels uncomfortable in one of these areas. If it's, again, a sense of wise speech or unwise speech, sexual conduct or sexual misconduct, or the use of intoxicants. And if you're able to pick one, just sort of sit with it and see, what is it that makes you feel aversive or challenged by this particular one? Either for yourself personally or in imagining having the conversation with your kids, even if they're little, just sort of to imagine into the future which one might feel like it would bring more charge. And can you allow yourself to understand that, what that charge is a little bit? I'll ask you to sort of stay with this one of the three through this short exercise, and to ask yourself, what did you learn about this when you were young? Again, taking care of yourself, of what's useful to work with in this exercise. But either you learn directly in conversations with your parents, or what, through their behavior, of what you saw, what you noticed. And what do you wish you learned? What do you wish you could have learned as a young person? What would have been helpful? What would you have liked to have heard from someone? It might not even need to be one of your a parent. Just noticing what comes up. How the words land in your body and in your heart, of what you wish you could have heard, what you would have wanted to hear, what would have been helpful. And then to imagine sitting down with your son or your daughter or all of your kids or one of them or your nieces and nephews. And what would you want to share with this young person, this young being, so full of life and the innocence that is still there in this body of whatever age your child is or your kids are? What would you want them to know? And what would you want to say? And to allow yourself the gift in this exercise that what you say is actually what they hear. And they're really able to take in what you're saying, because it's being said with such kindness and such openness and authenticity You're really speaking from the depth of your own heart and your own wisdom and your own generosity and conveying them this message about their own habits of speech, the practices of sexuality, or their relationship to intoxicants, or relationships in general, however you want to phrase it. What would you most want to convey to your kids about one of these topics? And how is it to imagine them really taking this in? What is that like? How does that feel in your body? And even with those of us with younger kids, it's not that far away. And you can imagine them being a little bit older or just even starting with it now, that they can really take in. Because what they're hearing is your heartfelt values. And how is it to have that message received? I invite you to, if it feels all right, to give a bow to your child or the kids that showed up in this and to offer yourself a bow of gratitude. And please hear my own gratitude at your kind attention and willingness to go through this. And then when you're ready, would love to have you open your eyes and just have a conversation about what came up or what your thoughts are. A lot coming up. What can be helpful is hand on your heart, hand on your belly. And just let yourself breathe into your hands. And it is for all of us to just take a minute and just close your eyes and feel your body. A lot. These topics raise a lot. It's challenging and hard. And can we meet where we are with as much compassion and loving kindness as possible? But yes, there's room for this too. We may not like it, but there's room for it and we can meet it.
Maybe we should go there.
Well, I love that. It really kind of keeps it gray. Like there is some gray area of like, well, what do you think? And putting it back on our kids to be like, well, what do you think? What does your body tell you? How does that feel in your body? That's great. Because it's true. That's what's going to guide them. However much we might want to be like, yes, call me. Ask me if it's okay. Can I do that? Oh, my dears. It is 8 o'clock. So I just ask that you close your eyes and just, I so appreciate your willing to grapple with these issues and sharing what you did and your vulnerability. And yes, I too feel that we're just all in this soup together, and I really am honored to be with you all tonight. And I wanted to close with this poem from the Parents' Tao Te Ching, which is called Natural Virtues. All young children naturally love God. As they grow, they are trained by others and turn instead to piety and religion. All young children are naturally at ease with their bodies. As they grow, they are shamed by others and become self-conscious and filled with tension. All young children naturally relate to other people well. As they grow, they see conflict and become fearful and guarded. All virtues arise naturally until fear and training interfere. Then virtues disappear and rules take their place. Look for the natural virtues of your children. You may have to pay careful attention. We're not trained to notice them or to distrust them, but they are the real thing. They don't have to be taught, only nurtured. What natural virtues can you notice in your child today? And there is a homework assignment that's just quickly just noticing, like, what kind of nourishment do you take in daily? How do you nourish yourself? What do you notice your kids taking in as nourishment? And then just, you can pick one of these, just sort of noticing habits of speech around where do we exaggerate or where do we omit things, or in that sneaky little category of not quite truths. What expectations do we have around our kids, around their speech? And then how strongly do we chase after our sense desires, and what patterns do we see in our kids? So just something to chat about next time. So thank you so much. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.